militant spirit in the community to confront police and other forms of abuse. For more information, please call 212-330-8277. That's 212-330-8277. This has been an announcement on behalf of Worldview.
The sound of our CD player not working. Isn't that something? It's amazing how things don't work around here. Let me see if I can figure this one out on the air. No, there's nothing there. Nothing at all. I see it moving. It's playing, but it's just not there. Well, let's imagine there's music. Let's imagine that Fiber is here.
I'll be Fiber.
You want to be Fiber? Okay. Rebel is now fiber optic from this point on. How are you today, Fiber?
All right.
Yeah?
Interesting things I...
You are fiber optic now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just noticed in the DVD...
I like this. I like the way this is working out. This is kind of cool.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I had some DVD questions. I've been doing research. And
I think Fiber will like it too.
Yeah.
If and when he finally gets here. Okay, Fiber, what's up?
This DVD-ROM thing. I know that... I've been doing research on DVDs, and I'm getting very excited about DVDs because I want to get a DVD, and I want to know, DVDs can play DVDs and CDs, correct?
Well, you're the expert, Fiber.
Yeah, Fiber, you're the expert.
Rebel is now here. Hello, Rebel, how are you? Go ahead, speak up, Rebel. He is now Fiber, you are now Rebel.
Oh. Hi, Eric. How are you?
How you doing?
Okay.
So now what's up?
Let's see. I was in Chemical Bank. Did you know you can make free phone calls in Chemical Bank?
It's the 9X Payment Center that you can still make free phone calls, and guess what? That may not work anymore. Anyway, I have a DVD question. You're the one with the DVD question.
Okay. He has a DVD question.
I'm stepping out for a while, so you two guys just go at it.
Okay.
All right, if any of you know the answer to the following questions, please call, but don't call it now. Don't call it now, because as you know, 9X cuts you off. I have a question. Can DVD players, not DVD-ROMs, but DVD players, they could play DVDs and audio CDs, right? Audio CDs
Maybe.
Such as that?
I got the CD player to work.
Oh, Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Sure.
Okay, I don't understand this. Is it just me or do I sound bad?
You sound like you're on a phone.
But I'm not on a phone. I'm standing right in front of you. You see me, right?
Right.
So how could I be on a phone?
I don't know, but you don't sound good.
I don't feel good. All right, well, let's pretend that everything's okay and that we're just going to do the show as normal. So, Fiber.
Yes.
No, you're a rebel.
Yes. Oh, I'm rebel.
You're a rebel from this point on.
Okay.
What's up with you?
All right. I'd like to...
Is your name Rebel?
Yeah.
No,
I'm
confused. No, you're not. No, go ahead.
So, am I just going to be referred to as Rebel?
I guess from this point on.
Do I have to act like Rebel also?
Well, you see, Fiber is the one that sits in the chair that Fiber is now sitting in.
Oh, that's right.
As you can tell.
Okay.
Yes. So, what's new with you this week, Rebel?
Well, if I was Fiber, I'd have some new OmniPoint news.
Ah.
And it just so happens that about a week or so ago, OmniPoint began offering their voice dialing service, voice-activated dialing. And they've actually been testing it for some time. And it's free to all OmniPoint customers. So if you are an OmniPoint customer, you can dial *44, and you will get the voice dialing menu, which prompts you to configure your voice dialing.
Is this similar to the 9X voice dialing?
No, well, the problem is you have to dial something to get to voice dialing. So right now, I mean, the only really good part about it is to function as kind of like a glorified memory dialer. So you don't have to remember somebody's number. You can dial *44 and speak their name. You could say dial Emmanuel, and it would dial you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not... like 9X is full-fledged voice-activated dialing, because you can't just pick up the phone and speak, because there's no mechanism in the handset itself, in a GSM handset, that will decode your voice. It's actually, in OmniPoint's case, it's actually a feature of the voicemail system. And *44 they just made as a speed dial code. So, I played around with it a bit, and the voice recognition was good. It was really good.
Has the OmniPoint services been improving as far as coverage area? I was trying to reach you all the way up here to the station, and not once was I able to get through.
Well, that would probably be because I was hitting the no button.
You were hitting the no button?
Yeah.
I see.
Because I had a feeling that I knew who was calling and why they were calling. And I could only have bad news because of where I was.
You're lucky I'm on the phone right now. That's all I have to say. Because if I was here, there'd be trouble. Trouble of a very bad sort. But anyway, so anything else new this week? Well, Kevin Mitnick got sentenced. I believe he got sentenced yesterday. He was supposed to. It was kind of a weird thing. They had a sentencing, a pre-sentencing that took place last week to say what he was going to be sentenced with this week. And then he was supposed to have been sentenced yesterday. However, I haven't been able to verify that at all. But supposedly he would be sentenced to just about the amount of time that he has been put in prison for, which is over 2 years. And then, of course, he'll be facing trial on the charges he was indicted with last year. And those are all the crazy things that nobody can really prove as far as multi-million-dollar... stealing of software and copying files and things like that. So the story still has a very long way to go.
Well, if he got sentenced to 2 years and he already served 2 years, wouldn't he get time served? Wouldn't he just be able to go home at that point pending the further charges?
Well, yes. Oh, that's better. Yes, that is true, except for the fact that they still don't want to give him bail for these other charges.
So they're going to hold him longer.
They want to hold him for the rest of his life.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think they really want to find out how long they can hold someone without actually charging them with anything.
Well, I mean, they've indicted him, so...
Well,
it's just it's a question of getting a trial, getting a jury to say whether or not this is. The thing is, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if a jury is going to sit there and say, you know, this is unreasonable. These days, I don't know what juries will say because they've been fed with such propaganda. People may very well say that Kevin Mitnick is somebody that deserves to be in prison for the rest of their lives. You know, these days that might be believable. I'd like to know what other people think about that. He's been in prison since February of 1995. That's a long time for somebody who didn't steal anything, didn't hurt anybody, just basically played around computers and phones. It's a very long time and no end in sight. So that's a story as far as that goes. Meanwhile, an update on that that Delaware hacker story that we talked about last week. A teenager allegedly from Delaware left cyber graffiti on a NASA website. According to this newspaper, he committed a crime much more serious than spraying a message on a wall. He cost the space agency thousands of dollars and set himself up for hefty fines and jail time. Federal officials said on Tuesday, actually this was last Tuesday, that the teen, whom they would not identify, hacked his way onto a secure informational website several times, stealing files, decoding passwords, and altering a web message with a cryptic message that quoted Sir Walter Scott. Oh, a famous hacker. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. This page is here to express many people's feelings towards the release of Kevin Mitnick. Many of you government system administrators are extremely stupid. You guys have to learn security before you can punish people for it. What the hell do you know about it? We feel all knowledge should be free. The message provides a window into the shadowy world of computer hackers and crackers. The incident also highlights the damage that high-tech criminals can cause. Hacker started off as a word with adventurous and positive connotations. If someone calls himself a hacker, he's basically calling himself a gunslinging programmer, said Richard E. Gordon, who used to counsel University of Delaware students who got into trouble for improper computer use. If someone calls himself a cracker, it's more malicious. Still don't know anybody who calls himself a cracker. It's kind of a silly word.
I know people that have been called crackers.
I know plenty of people who have been called all kinds of things, but I don't know people who have done that. NASA called the Delaware teen's alleged high-tech break-ins a cracking spree. So there you go. They're calling him a cracker right there. Now, get this part. The agency paid tens of thousands of dollars to repair the web page. Now, how do you do that? How do you pay tens of... I mean, yeah, I know it's NASA. I know they pay $100,000 for a toilet seat or whatever. But come on, how do you pay tens of thousands of dollars to repair a web page? For God's sake. I mean, they already had designed their web page. It was already there someplace. Did they not keep any backups whatsoever? All they had to do was close the security hole, right? I mean... Tell me, where's tens of thousands of dollars come from? That's what this person is facing jail because of, because he caused tens of thousands of dollars. He simply changed a message on a machine, but somehow he caused tens of thousands of dollars of damage.
I think the $10,000 number justifies calling in the authorities. It doesn't really necessarily mean that the person really caused $10,000 worth of damage. If he caused $5 worth of damage, then the federal authorities would never have gotten involved.
If I could just jump in, yeah, I'd say it's a lot of this paranoia that takes place as a result of, I guess, believing whatever the authorities are saying. The authorities say this is worth $1 million, and we just simply sit there and say, yeah, it's worth $1 million because you say it is. You know, it's like the Craig Nydorf case. Remember when they tried to value that 911 document at something like $80,000? They included the computers they used to type the document, the secretary they hired to type it, all kinds of things like that. And people just believed it, when in actuality the document was only worth about $14.
Yeah. Well, I want to play devil's advocate for a moment.
I'd have to totally agree.
About playing devil's advocate?
No, what that caller said.
What
Absolutely.
Caller?
The caller that just said
Oh,
that.
Yeah. I agree with the caller. Thank you, caller. I just want to play devil's advocate for a moment with... people running around breaking into websites and making some, like, socio-political statement about Kevin Mitnick or whoever.
Hello?
Hi.
The phones are all kind of messed up, so don't... Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So like I was saying, I want to play devil's advocate and say that Who is this we? Who's the we? That people explain they justify doing what it is they're doing because we feel, we this, we that. Who's the we?
Well,
who are we?
The we isn't me. I can tell you that.
It's
right
not me
now.
Either. I don't know who these people are representing.
Not me either.
I mean, well, I can
be any of us.
I can relate more to Kevin Mitnick's particular predicament than I think most people that are going around screaming we. And I'm not going around breaking into websites and putting up messages on them.
Right.
But not that I'm devil's advocate with a limit. I don't think that these people should be punished for what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that if they're going to go to the trouble to make some kind of political statement, they should choose better words other than explaining that it's we. We're doing this for we.
Well, I mean, I don't think there really is that much of a we there. That I don't see it myself.
No.
I mean, where do you see it?
Well, you said we this, we believe that Kevin shouldn't be locked up, we... Uh-huh. It's always we.
Well, I mean, we meaning the people that did that. It doesn't necessarily mean they're speaking for all the hackers in the world or anything.
But that's how they come off sounding. And that's how the media reads it.
Uh-huh.
They read it as we the hackers feel.
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't you think there's more strength, though, in some sort of a, you know, something in numbers rather than a bunch of people just doing this wantonly without any kind of connection whatsoever.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I think
they'd be looked upon as just as much of a threat if they were saying I instead of we. I don't really think that's the issue. I don't think it's...
Oh, they could say the three of us. That might give away a little too much, but the we part is just it seems a little bit misleading.
They're seeking recognition from peers, said Ken Weaverling, manager of computer services at Delaware Technical and Community College's Scranton/Willington campus. They all want to be elite. And to some hackers, people who have been arrested for cyber crimes have become virtual folk heroes. Mitnick, the notorious hacker mentioned in the Delaware teen's message, was indicted last year on charges stemming, here we go again, from a multi-million-dollar crime wave in cyberspace. You know, every time, we mentioned that last week, right? And sure enough, that's exactly what they are saying, because it appeared in the Associated Press they have made it fact that he engaged in a multi-million-dollar crime wave, when in actuality he's been indicted for things that, in no way can you say this is multi-million-dollar, you know, copying a file. It just isn't, you know, but as long as they can say this in the Associated Press, people will start believing it.
So he kind of went on a cyber crime spree.
That's what they're saying. The 2600 magazine website includes a detailed update on Mitnick. It also shows a reproduction of the NASA site altered in March, which includes a poem, which I'm not going to read here because the facts sort of cut off. So I don't remember what it is myself. But for the most part, it seems like bored teenagers sitting in a basement somewhere, said Chris Patterson, systems administrator for an internet service provider called Delanet. Isn't that a good name for
Delanet.
A provider in Delaware? Delanet. Patterson said hackers try to break into a system about once a week, but have never caused damage. What's worked for us is just keeping track of what the hackers are doing. So, I don't know. I think that's kind of the same thing.
Well, I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, within limits, within reason. I mean, I'm the administrator of a number of systems, and if somebody popped on that I didn't invite, I'd probably more than likely boot them off.
Right.
If it happened in the first place.
And you wouldn't call the feds?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I suppose we could open up the phone lines at 212-279-3400. You know, I wanted to talk also about our little DSS adventure, because we talked about that a few weeks ago, where we were, you know, experimenting with DSS. And I finally got the thing hooked up, and I was playing around with it. In fact, you were playing around with it, too.
Sure.
It's an interesting service. But, you know, I bought this magazine. If you could give that back to me.
It's called Orbit.
Yeah, Orbit. Now, I thought Orbit would take care of DSS, but you know what? Instead, the people who put out Orbit, which is a complete national TV programming guide, they really look down upon DSS, you know? Now, the reason is, I guess because their dishes are too small or something like that. They're not like real big manly dishes.
Yeah.
And these are the ones that, you know, that I guess the people out in Kansas have, where they basically get everything under the sun. They're going around, I mean, right now, okay, nothing, as far as I'm concerned, nothing has turned me off more to TV than having access to 300 TV channels, okay? I have not even turned it on in weeks, all right? It makes me sick. It makes me ill. It's not like you're getting, you know, a bunch of, like, BAI-type things or alternative thoughts or anything like that. You're getting more of the same, you know? It's always geared towards the same middle-class American family-type value system thing. You know, that's always what you get, whether it's Shop at Home, whether it's, you know, it's a movie channel, whether it's a music channel or a sports channel. It's always geared towards those same values, you know? I'm looking for something different, you know, all kinds of different values and controversial things and international stuff. It's not there. I mean, there's some stuff, but it's very, very, very hard to find. So right now, do you know how many HBOs I get? This is ridiculous.
At least half a dozen, right?
That's, oh boy. There's HBO 1, 2, 3, and then 1 West, 2 West, so that's 5 right there. Then they have this HBO Family nonsense, which they just started, and they have the West feed of that as well. So what's that, 7?
That's
7 HBOs. Now, the people of Orbit Magazine are going crazy saying, DSS people only get 7 HBOs. We get 9.
Whoa.
They get HBO Mountain. Oh, great, the Mountain feed of HBO. What am I missing? You know? And it just goes on. These people are insane. They're out of their minds. Of course, they're probably going to listen to the show on real audio and be very angry at us. But come on, people. I mean, how much of this crap can you take? It's the same stuff over and over again, just over, you know, saturating the market. I want to go back to a regular TV set that just gets, like, channel 2 through 13.
Yeah.
I think those are the good old days. I mean, you know, you have a little bit of variety. You have some... Who needs 2 Comedy Central channels? Who needs 2 Discovery channels? 2 Disney channels? 2 of everything. They're the same thing. The exact same thing. 2 Lifetimes. 2 MTVs. I don't know. So, yeah, it's been an interesting experience. We haven't figured out how to crack the system yet.
They do use smart cards.
They use smart cards. But supposedly there are smart cards around there that will do things to your system to allow you to get everything.
Well, I would be willing to bet.
Yes.
I'm assuming the purpose of that is that you could go to a friend's house and bring your smart card and he would have your subscription.
Mm-hmm.
So you could bring around your subscription to the channels you pay for or on the smart card, you could bring it
with
you.
That's what I think. I think you can. It's sort of like your phone. You can take your DSS with you
that's
wherever
your
you go.
Telephone. That's your TV watching personality is on that smart card.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming they probably save all your menus, how you have them configured for what channels you want to scan if you set it up that way.
Yeah, you see, there's all these things you can set up. You can set up your favorites and the order you want to go in and how it's listed, if it's alphabetical or not. There's all kinds of weird things too. There's like the CRTC, the Rural Telecommunications Collective or something. Yeah, it's like something for farmers to have access to cable TV or to satellites. But it's a private network. If you click on that channel, it says private use only. You may not watch this.
Wow.
And yeah, you have to be careful what you tune to. There's all these sports networks that I've never even heard of before. You know, there's all these different things. Sports Channel Cincinnati, Sports Channel Ohio, you know, and all kinds of bizarre things. But the funny thing is, and they don't tell you this when you get it, not that I care, but when an actual game comes on, they black that out because that you have to pay for. You have to subscribe
really?
To those. Yeah. So you get all the, you know, the things that they put on at 2 in the morning. You know, like, you know, women's bowling from Kansas City or something like that. You'll get that. But you also get that on all the other channels as well because they all air the same programming at that point. So it's kind of misleading as far as that goes if you're into that kind of thing, which I can't say that I am. It's interesting. But it's just kind of weird that even if you get 300 channels, you still look down upon by the people who can get 500. You know, it's not having enough choice. It's not choice. It's the same thing. Just oversaturated. I'd like to see some real changes there.
What's the deal with the golf channel? What is that?
Everyone gets that now. That's even on cable TV.
Yeah, well,
all they do is talk about golf.
We haven't gotten it in Manhattan yet.
You know, I'm supposed to
be getting it.
Yeah, you're going to get it, whether you want it or not.
No.
I like to hold my breath, you know, and wait for them to say golf.
Yeah.
And see if I can pass out, but I never do. they always get to that word at some point in the sentence.
What's the deal with that? I mean, well, how come there's not like a Hialeah channel or a squash channel?
Give it time. Why isn't there a Pacifica channel on TV? Why isn't there something like that? You know, why isn't there all kinds of different things? You know, all the news comes from the same basic perspective.
There should be a rebel channel.
There should be an off-the-hook channel.
No, let's not make an off-the-hook channel.
What?
All right, so anyway, 212-279-3400, we have to give our callers a chance. Fiber, why don't you be quiet, because you've already talked. Rebel, any other remarks?
I just want
to... No, you're not Rebel, you're Fiber. And Fiber was late today, so Fiber may not speak. Now, Rebel, what about you?
Oh, I agree we should take some callers.
Okay, let's do that then.
Good idea.
212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air. Why is it? Why is it people always have to, like, just sort of sit there and be all puzzled and perplexed and things like that? Why is that?
I think they're frightened.
I think they're just... They're a little confused there. 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air.
All right. Yeah, this is Zio. And what you were saying before about people hacking in $10,000 worth of damage, just they're trying to scare people away from doing it. Trying to make them think that all this damage is caused. I'm sure they had copies of everything, like you said.
Right. Of course, yeah. It's a way of making people fear the government, I guess, and the corporations that they might hack into, because they'll be charged with ten. I mean, if you hack into an individual's page, they're not going to charge you with $10,000 worth of damage of any sort.
Yeah, I have a domain with an ISP right now, and they give access to all their web pages, and I upload, like, my homepage accidentally to their homepage. They didn't care. They just said, oh, we'll do it next time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a trivial thing, and obviously these people really don't know what they're doing. You know, that's how they got hacked in the first place. So, you know, I see web hacks as something pretty inconsequential. I mean, it's a great way to get a message out. And it's sort of a political statement right there, which I guess are the most, you know, the most damaging to organizations like that. So you don't think this person should be held accountable for $10,000 worth of damage, I take it? Okay, well, I guess your silence indicates that no, you don't wish that. Let's go on to the next call, 212-279-3400. Good evening, you're on the air.
The next call, 212-279-3400.
Oh, boy, don't I sound good to that radio there. Yes, I do.
Hello, Manuel?
Yes, go ahead.
Did you get a package some time ago about MetroCard?
Did I get a package about MetroCard? Oh, you know what? I did get a package, yes. I got a package. The man gave it to me, and I gave him a nice tip. And he said there would be more coming. Is that right?
Yes, there was.
Good. Okay, that's nice to know. Yes, MetroCard. That's you know, I had a MetroCard adventure the other day, okay? I'm glad you reminded me. I jumped the turnstile. Yes, I did. That's right. Me, Emmanuel Goldstein, jumped the turnstile. And I did it right at 34th and A Street on the ACE line going uptown. And the reason I did was because I had to meet somebody uptown. And I had to meet them. You know, it was like, they're going to be there in 5 minutes. And this was, the train was there at that point in time. I had my MetroCard. I swiped my MetroCard. It said, swipe again. So I swiped again. It said, swipe again. And I swiped one more time. And it said, too fast, swipe again. So I went to the other turnstile, and I went through this little dance like three more times. And finally I said, well, gosh darn it all with this. Let's not even deal with this anymore. And I just jumped over the turnstile. Now, of course, right there is where the train is. This is like the only turnstile in Manhattan where you jump the turnstile and the motorman is there watching you do it. And he yelled at me saying you shouldn't do that. And I said, well, you know, it would be good if you guys made cards that worked. I wouldn't have to do this, but if you want my card, here, take my card. I don't need it. You think I'm going to jump a turnstile with a card in my hand? It's kind of, you know, silly to do that in the first place. And, well, he wasn't convinced. But that was my MetroCard thing. I tried it again today, the same card. It took 7 tries to work. So these things are not exactly cutting-edge technology.
You said you were trying to erase them, and they wouldn't erase. Did you?
Yeah, well, it seems to have worked now. I don't know what I did. I just put them in my pocket. I guess maybe you're not supposed to do that.
Well, I was reading some literature from one of the manufacturers of banking equipment, and they said that they use, in their magnetic equipment, it's not really magnetic, they use radioactive elements to put the encoding on the card, so that may be one of the reasons why it wouldn't erase. It's not magnetic, it's radioactive imprinting material that they put on the under the magnetic stripe.
Well, maybe I got radiated or something. I don't know. But were you able to understand those schematics yourself?
Somewhat. I had reason to use them at some point. There's about three or four different versions that they come in. And basically, it's a matter of what jumpers are connected, depending on what piece of equipment it would go in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're able to decipher any of them, let us know. I sent you an email also, by the way. You didn't respond to it.
Probably because I've been deluged over the past few weeks with getting the summer issue out and working on Beyond Hope, but you will get a reply by fall, I promise. But yeah, we'll be doing stuff with this at Beyond Hope, and we'll be talking about it at length and experimenting with all sorts of things like that.
All right, Emmanuel.
All right, thanks for sending it in, and keep us in mind.
Take care.
All right, take care. If you have any interesting documents that you want to send to us, our address here is Off the Hook, care of WBAI Radio. That's 505 8th Avenue, New York, New York, 10018. Or if you want to send something to 2600 Magazine, our address out there is 2600 P.O. Box 99, Middle Island, New York, 11953. And, yes, we need volunteers for Beyond Hope, you know, the Hacker Conference, which will be taking place August 8th, 9th, and 10th, downtown Manhattan, Puck Building. We'll be broadcasting live August 9th, which is Saturday, from 6 to 8 p.m., special two-hour show live from the Puck Building. That's going to be kind of neat. All kinds of surprises that will be happening then. And if you're interested in volunteering, stay tuned, because we'll give information on what you can do to help out. 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air. Yes.
Yes, hello.
Yes, how you doing?
Hey, who's this?
This is the person that's hanging up on you because you don't know who you're talking to. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to say, first of all, that I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Every week.
Thank you very much.
No problem. I had a kind of a problem, computer-related problem.
We're here for you.
I thank you. Thanks for feeling my pain.
No problem.
However, it was a little confidential, and I didn't really feel comfortable talking about it on the air, and I was wondering if there was any way I might be able to take advantage of your wisdom.
Just get to the problem.
I can't really do it on the air. That's the thing. But I would really appreciate it if I could speak. And I was wondering if there's somewhere I could reach you. Not on the
air. Does it burn when you pee?
It's not quite that bad, but I mean, not quite that private. But still, it's not. You know.
What kind of problem are we talking about here?
Well, nothing as serious as these...
Do this. Come to the 2600 meeting July 4th. That's right, July 4th, Independence Day, where we celebrate the independence of hackers everywhere. And that will be at the usual place, Citicorp Center, which is at 53rd and Lexington Avenue. And if you have any problems, come there.
Oh, and when is that?
I just said when it was. Okay. July 4th.
Oh, it's on. Well, you said it was. Okay, it was on July 4th.
Yes, July 4th from 5 to 8 p.m.
Okay.
It's going to take place on that day as scheduled. And
the building's closed.
Yes. Then. It is not closed.
It is July 4th.
It is not.
It's a bank.
It's
banks are closed.
It's not closed.
How do you know?
Gag him. All right. 212-279-3400. Have you shackled? Good evening. You're on the air.
Gag him.
Come on, people. All right, look, the thing is, this is how it works. When you call into the radio show, you have to stay on the phone. You can't go away from the phone and listen to the radio. It doesn't work that way. Listen to the rings. It means you're in line and we'll get to you. You can have the radio on in the background, but you got to stay on the phone. So when you hear my voice say, hello, you're on the air, you know that I'm talking to you because it's coming into your ear through the phone. I have to explain it every now and then, I guess. I don't know why. Good evening. You're on the air.
Now,
you see, it was too long.
they almost made it.
They almost made it. It's close. You know, they're about halfway there. But this is what, you know, let's pretend you're a caller.
Okay.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Emmanuel.
See? That's nice and quick. Rebel, why don't you run into the other room and make a phone call to us? Because you always, no, you can't use that phone. That phone doesn't work anymore. You always are good at getting through. And you always know to speak when spoken to. Down the hall, through the gate, and past the man with the gun, is the phone that you can use. Okay, now lock the door, please. All right. Okay, Rebel's gone. 212-279-3400. That was the real Rebel. The real Rebel, he's gone. Okay. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel,
Not
how are you?
Fast enough. Okay, yeah, that's all right. I'll let it go. Go ahead.
Okay, listen, regarding the amount on that $10,000 document,
Well, it's not a $10,000 document. It's a web page.
Well, $10,000 web page. I mean, when they print this thing, do they print it on like gold leaf paper or something?
I don't. They don't print it at all. It's totally on. Rebel, why are you back?
Because the phones are busy.
Did they gag Rebel yet?
No,
not yet.
Try the payphone downstairs then. All right. Anyway, so what is your question?
Okay, I'm just wondering, like, if everybody is supposed to fear the government because they put all these big fines on like these web pages and stuff like that. I mean, all of this stuff is on the internet. I mean, you gotta expect people to go in. If they don't want people on their web pages, why don't they just take them off the net?
That's a good solution as far as I'm concerned. If you don't want the risk of people, you know, figuring out security holes, you shouldn't be there in the first place. You should not be in a position where somebody can cause you $10,000 worth of damage anyway on the net, because the net is still something that is growing and developing in front of us, and it's possible that some sort of programming code could totally wipe out whatever it is on your page anyway.
You know,
there's all
true.
Kinds of things happening.
I can understand that, but I mean, if all of these people are so concerned about, oh, my web page is going to get broken into or this or that,
mm-hmm.
You know, people should take a better look at what the government is doing instead of what hackers are doing, because the government has much more to hide than we do.
Well, that's why they respond by saying we caused $10,000 worth of damage. Yeah, I'm not saying people should go around and cause vandalism and do things like that, but keep in mind the net is something new. The net is something people are exploring, tweaking, playing around with, and occasionally breaking in various ways. We broke the net last year, remember, with the sin flooding article. I got mail from people saying, you've broken the whole thing.
You've broken the net.
You've ruined the internet. You know, I've got all kinds of people sending all kinds of horrible things.
It'll never be the same.
And, you know, we seem to still be around, right?
I mean, if you look at it, really, if people want to run the net responsibly, they should just let it run the way it's running, because a lot of hackers aren't malicious, and the stuff that happened to you, Fiber, and to Bernie S., and now the crap that's happening with Mitnick,
right?
I don't think it was really necessary.
No, definitely.
I really don't.
I'm sure Fiber agrees with you there.
Oh, yeah, I agree with 100%, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I missed the last couple of meetings, but you guys going to be at the next one, or are you
I should be there. I should be. If the city court building is closed, I'll be outside.
Okay, you'll be outside.
I hear there's fireworks this year, right? Not at Citicorp, but I hear there's fireworks in New York City.
Isn't there every year?
Well, I don't know. I haven't been in the city in a while, but
yeah, there is every year.
Every year, okay.
Oh yeah,
yeah. In fact, if you look in Harper's, they have a statistic. They say that I think in 1976 or something, when they had the bicentennial,
right?
Something on the order of 4 fireworks per second going off during the fireworks display. This year, it will be 8 per second.
Wow.
So, yes, it's even better than that. And they crammed, you know, like 6 million people into all of downtown, and it's going to be something like 20 million now. Yeah, 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air.
Great.
Yes, isn't it? It's amazing.
Hello.
How you doing?
Thank you. I can't believe it's the first time in about a year I've gotten through. I have two questions. For the real-time audio, I mean, I know very, very little about it, and someone is doing me a favor right now and broadcasting my show for me. What's involved, what's the sort of investment, and what's involved in broadcasting yourself?
Are you talking about broadcasting live or archiving a show?
Actually, live more than both in the end, but live is more interesting.
Live takes more than simply archiving. What we're doing with Off the Hook, we've gotten all the shows onto real audio format. And by the way, I finished that project this week. It's taken 6 months of my life just to simply, every day, listening to at least 2 or 3 or 4 shows and writing down what was on them all. And sometimes, you know, when you're driving in your car, listening and writing things down at the same time, it's kind of dangerous. But everywhere, you know, at home and at the office, other people's houses, always listening to you know, editions of Off the Hook. I've lost a lot of friends. And it's over, you know. I've got them all down. They're all, you know, being categorized now and put on the net so people can simply click on the website and listen to the show, any show they want. It's not all there yet. We're up to 1991. I think 1992 will be up later this week. That simply involves playing the show back into a real audio recorder, which is free off the net, and converting it there, which takes just a little while. An hour-long show, fairly good sound quality, takes about 7 megs of disk space. Now, to do it live, Fiber, what do we need to do it live?
Well,
we need bandwidth.
To do it live, number one, you need bandwidth. You need at least a decent T1,
mm-hmm.
The bare minimum. You also need to buy a real audio server.
Mm-hmm.
And you pay by the number of simultaneous connections that you allow to listen to the show.
And it's
not cheap.
It's not cheap, no. So, you know, to get, give us an example, to get, like, say, 100 people listening.
Oh, geez, 100.
You couldn't do that, could you? With a T1, I don't think you'd be able to have the bandwidth to do that.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have the bandwidth, but it would cost you thousands and thousands of dollars to pay for.
It's not cheap to do that. That's why we're doing it this way, because we encourage people to copy the show, put it on other sites, like, say, in Europe, and have people listen to it over there. You know, it's 7 megs, but that's not that much these days. And once you copy it, you have it for all time, and you can listen to it anytime you want.
You need a modem?
You need a modem to get the show in the first place. Uh-huh. But and you would need some sort of net connection if you wanted to listen real time, obviously.
Right. Okay. Just another question is about this. When you're referring to the smart card,
mm-hmm.
what is that to you? What are you referring to? Because there's a lot of things.
It's a card with an IQ of at least 120, I think.
Right? At least.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
it's basically a credit card sized card. It's a piece of plastic, the same size as a credit card, same thickness, and on that card it has a microchip. And instead of having a card where all the information is stored on a completely stupid, unintelligent magnetic strip, like a regular credit card, you have a little integrated circuit mounted on your plastic credit card-sized doodad. And they're being used now for all sorts of things. It's a fairly new thing in the United States.
Who issues it for what purpose?
Right.
Who issues...
is a welfare issuing it? Is FBI?
No.
The License Bureau?
No. They're being used in new mobile phones. They're being used, obviously, in DSS satellite systems. They're being used in... Actually, there's some new trials where they're being used on American Express and Visa and MasterCard.
You see, I like that idea because credit cards, for some reason, always deteriorate in my pocket. You see, I keep all my cards together, you know, next to each other. And apparently they rub off and the magnetic strip gets all, you know, fouled up. And, you know, you can never run the thing through the machine. You always have to type the numbers in. Would a smart card not have that problem?
A smart card will eventually have that problem, but it'll last a heck of a lot longer than the magnetic strip on your credit card.
That's what I need. I need something that lasts a heck of a lot longer.
It'll last a lot longer.
Thanks for the call. Let's move on to another person who hopefully knows how to answer the phone. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Wow. You know, I really, really wish you guys would pick up and put us on hold, because 9X really doesn't let us ring for that long.
Well, you know... I don't know what to do. I mean, with the phone...
Oh, I know. It's required.
The phone won't let us put people on hold easily.
Not only that, you have to get another guy to put us on hold.
You've got to hire people. Yeah, it's a big,
and all that wonderful,
long, drawn-out thing.
All right.
No guarantee we'll even get to you.
I guess we'll pick at 9X, because I really hate that the new pay phones that don't let you dial. What if you want to page somebody?
I don't understand the logic behind that. What are these people thinking?
You know what
thinking?
The logic is? This is the outward logic, but it obviously doesn't make sense. They don't want drug dealers... putting in touch tone.
Okay, now how about your businessman, right, who is like at a payphone, a 9X payphone, makes a calling card call and calls back to his voicemail system, has to enter the voicemail number, has to enter his name, has to enter his password, and has to listen to messages, and then you get that annoying voice saying no additional dialing allowed?
Yep.
I mean, a businessman is likely to turn into, you know, a raving lunatic as a result of this.
Or a drug dealer. No, but, you know, the thing is, the drug dealers, you would assume that most of them are pretty able to afford a cellular phone anyway.
I think most of them are using cellular phones.
Exactly.
I don't think drug dealing is the problem here. I think it's stupidity of 9X. I don't know. What are they thinking to cut off? It's a pain already hearing that stupid thank you for using 9X every time you make a phone call. But that means that you're going to get cut off after a little while if you try to use additional touchtones. It's a reason for people to go out and buy touchtone dialers, but of course everyone's going to think you're using a Redbox then.
This is true. Have you been seeing the DVD movies? I was quite impressed myself.
I haven't seen any.
You haven't?
But they are out there.
Well,
I don't have a DVD player.
You know, I thought I would be seeing horrible.
What kind of phone are you on anyway?
My cell phone, actually.
Regular?
Well, it's not GSM. I'm sorry, Fiverr. Oh.
Okay. Yeah, call him Rebel this week.
Oh, well, look at that. Someone almost Someone's really mad that I took their parking spot. Okay, in any case...
Yeah, let's get into a fight on the air. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, it's live. In any case, what I was going to ask you was... Wow, I almost got into an accident.
Oh, cool.
Okay, in any case...
Would you do that for us? Would you get us a little fender bender so we can hear, you know, what it sounds like?
No, listen, the taxi driver let me go through. This is quite amazing. Uh-huh. In any case, the last thing I wanted to say was, with the DVDs, I thought it would look like that MPEG-1 thing with the background that weren't moving would really look staticky, but it didn't turn out to be that way, so I'm impressed. But anyway, you haven't seen it, so it doesn't matter. The last thing I want to say was DSS and Orbit. Is Orbit PrimeStar? Is that what you're talking about?
Orbit? I lose track of all this.
Or is that just a regular, like, DSS... Well, dishes.
DSS is DirecTV,
right.
And
like an 18-inch dish.
USSB,
right,
which provides some of the
programming.
Viacom channels as well.
Right.
Orbit, it's just a magazine for real dish people.
Right. Those are like the huge dishes.
Yeah.
And then PrimeStar, I think, is like in between, right? Is that how it works out?
I think so. I don't know. To be honest, I got totally baffled by the whole thing.
Well, when HDTV comes out with HBO next year, who's going to be watching?
I don't really know how that's going to work either.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks anyway.
All right. Thanks for
Bye-bye.
Calling. 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was under the impression that the way the cards for the subway worked was that the entire data regarding your particular card number was essentially... on a network, essentially, and what was your card had was essentially an identification number for the card, and so when you put your card in, essentially all the information related to your number essentially is pulled up, and it's throughout the whole system. Is that not correct, or...?
We believe now that it's actually writing to the card as well and updating you there.
Really?
Not just sending your number out and deducting something at some centralized point, but actually, because according to the documentation that we've gotten... those devices in the turnstiles are reader/writers, meaning that they are writing to the card at the same time.
I see.
It's hard to understand how they're able to do it so fast, but apparently that is what they are doing. And we're trying to get more information. If anyone out there has more information, we'd really like to see it.
So essentially the information is also broadcast over the high-frequency radio wave as well for subways.
For the buses, yes.
Yeah.
There is, I haven't tracked down the actual frequency yet. I don't know what happens if you tune into that frequency.
Wow.
But I do know that it is being transmitted, obviously.
Wow, so there must be some encryption and stuff like that to prevent people from actually getting the data.
Yeah.
I mean, what it is.
And you know, there's the new MetroCards now, MetroCard Gold, they're allowing transfers to buses, up to 4 transfers in a 2-hour period, I think.
Wow.
That also means, though, that you can't, you can only swipe your card 4 times in a row at a turnstile. So if you're with 5 people, you know, or even 4 people, 5 total, somebody's going to have to get another card because it'll say maximum amount of transfers when you try to do it 5 times.
I see.
Yeah, so I've been experimenting.
Okay. All right, cool.
All right.
Great job.
So, of course, we'll have more details at Hope, Beyond Hope. We'll be playing around with these things, and hopefully there'll be more answers. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm actually going to stay on the air this time, okay?
Oh, cool.
Let me just turn down my radio a minute.
All right.
Hold on.
As long as your radio isn't too far away, we will tolerate
it. It's so weird. I'm hearing myself now. 1 minute.
Yes.
It's not too far away.
Okay, well,
don't hang
we've
up
already
on me.
Spent too much time talking about this.
So. Okay.
All right, are you back? No, apparently he's just leaving now. Okay. I guess these people have their radios on the other side of the house.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay, you're back.
Yes, I just wanted to tell you, I had a very strange payphone experience the other day.
Really?
Yes.
Would this
I
be
picked...
9X or...
It was 9X.
Okay.
Sure enough. Hold on, let me catch my breath from running to my radio.
Yeah, all right.
All right. So anyway, I picked up the payphone. And I heard a beeping, like, beep, 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 beep. It was so weird.
Okay.
And then I...
Was this one of these silver phones?
No, it was...
The new silver phones?
It was the old kind.
The old kind, okay.
Yeah, just the normal ones.
All right.
This is on Long Island. I haven't seen those yet.
Okay.
So, but what was this?
Well, it was just beeping?
It was beeping very fast.
Okay.
And it continued to do that for the next hour or so.
Rebel, do you have a real answer?
Yeah.
You do, okay.
Was the phone beeping while it was on the switch hook or when you picked it up?
No, only when I picked it up.
Only when you picked it
up. And the keypad was cut off.
Okay, so it was beeping in your earpiece?
Yeah.
Okay, because I've noticed on 9X payphone that was beeping make like a ringing sound, like a grrr, like while the phone was on the hook. I noticed that when you pick up the new payphones, you have to wait. It goes, like it cuts off. Before the dial tone comes on.
How does it go again?
It goes, doo, doo, and then the dial tone comes
really?
On.
Okay.
Amazing.
I've heard that sound before.
Oh, really?
And sometimes when you hang up, you got to, like, hang up a long time.
He was in the room that time, too, so no, never mind. Yeah, okay, so that's interesting. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's causing it.
It was a payphone in the school. Could that have anything to do with it?
I don't see why that would have anything to do with it.
Could you specify what this beep sounded like? I mean, why wasn't it an off-the-hook tone?
It was.
An off-the-hook tone, like at the beginning of our show?
You know what it sounded like? It sounded like the beginning of your theme music.
Well, you know what that was? It was a phone off the hook.
The phone's off the hook.
No. The phone was on the hook.
Okay, wait a minute.
Okay, so the switch hook is broken.
The phone was on the hook, and you heard this sound. You heard that sound.
Sounded like that, except faster.
Well, yeah, okay, the speed doesn't really matter that much.
The tone, but faster.
All right. And the phone was on the hook.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what happens with 9X phones is sometimes the circuitry gets a little messed up.
The switch hook could have been broken.
Yeah, that could
have happened. You know where I could buy a payphone?
I'm not really sure. You know, they have all those yellow phones. They must have done something with those.
Well, I heard that 9X is selling all their trucks next year, too.
They're selling all their trucks?
Yeah.
Where'd you hear this?
From my friend.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Then it must be true.
It must be true.
Well, you know, he's pretty special.
Uh-huh. How is he special?
Because he wouldn't really know.
Okay. Well, I guess I can't argue
because
with
that. Because he asked someone who knew.
Okay. Well, the thing is, I mean, it's quite likely that 9X will turn into Bell Atlantic next year.
Yeah.
I don't know if
that's what I figured.
I don't know if that's a reason for them to sell their vans or simply repaint them.
Yeah. I always wanted to get a 9X truck.
Well, I mean, you still can because they have auctions a lot. You just have to find out where the auctions are.
Okay.
So that's how we got our special phone company van.
Well, you've been very insightful.
I try. Thank you very much for calling and for answering so quickly. Let's see if the next person is as prompt. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes. You could have been quicker, but we'll accept it.
I try to be quick.
All right.
How you doing?
All right. I'm doing just fine.
It's the first time I've called your show. I've listened to it for a long time, and I've always enjoyed it. And I listened to it before I actually had capability of actually doing anything with my computer.
Uh-huh. And now you have capability.
Well, at work I do.
Uh-huh.
I still have the old 286 in my room.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good for word processing, though.
Yeah, it's good for word processing. It's good for connecting to the net and other such
really?
Things.
Really? Well, look, you guys were talking about the smart card, and I had this revelation about a year ago. I was watching the local news here. I can't remember which station. And I threw, you know, my tape recorder on to tape the show, the segment. Basically, it was talking about a cash card that was being demoed or beta tested or something with people who lived in the Upper West Side. And it was about a 5-minute segment. And they interviewed different people about it. And the majority of them were like, oh, I got a credit card already. And I got this card. I got my check card. And they seemed kind of down on the idea. But then the story disappeared. And I didn't hear anything else about it. Are you familiar with that story at all?
I've never heard that story myself.
Well, not specifically, but the trials for the Visa, I believe, are from Chase Manhattan. The trials are going to be starting uptown. I think they may have already started.
Now, this is for your... Now, your smart card you're talking about is just a credit card, though.
In that particular case, yeah.
A smart card can be used for all kinds of applications, though.
Yeah.
Right, but see, this was specifically with the intention of eventually... Like, they started out the whole segment with, like, you know, will cash become obsolete? That kind of thing, you know? And, you know, the new cash card that, you know, such and such, you know, a company is betting on that, and then they talked about how, you know, well, in order to actually buy things and sell things, you'd have to have this reader that would read the card.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
And so then businesses might, you know, balk at that because they cost something like $2,000 or whatever it was. And I just thought it was really bizarre that I didn't hear about this anywhere else. And no one else seems to remember this broadcast. I did tape it, and I have to find, I have a million tapes here, but I have to find that segment.
Well, I do know that people up there listen to us, and if anybody is engaged in such a trial or has been, please contact us, and we'll try and get information that way, see what it's all about. But I do know we're moving in that direction where this is used for almost every transaction, and cash is discouraged. I mean, have you ever paid with a $100 bill anywhere? It becomes the most confrontational thing. God forbid someone takes that little Mylar strip out of it. You know, it's like fake money then, you know?
Well, I don't know how they can design something to protect it from forgery when you can pull it out like that.
I know, that's instant fraud right there. You just pull that thing out and nobody's going to accept it because they won't see the little magic thing. That's the only thing that tells them it's real. So anybody who makes fake money, they just have to put a little strip in there, and voila, you got real money.
I hate to say, sound conspiratorial, but it's quite possible that that horrible design, that idea of putting the strip that's easily taken out, could be a way of getting people to not trust money anymore, you know? You just don't trust cash, and you want this card, and it's little bits of information. You can't argue with that, you know?
Right. It's convenient, it's quick, and it's the law.
And it could be the only way in the future that you'll be able to purchase things. So, like, it would affect the black market in some way, I would assume, if you didn't have one of these little readers, you know, to read the card. And also, if they decide that you're a felon or whatever it is that you can't, I don't know what it is, but they could control your card, your access to actually buy things if your card is canceled or you lose it or whatever.
That's true. That's true. You know, I had a funny adventure with American Express this past couple of weeks, actually, where I tried using it and it just like suddenly wasn't working. I thought maybe there was something wrong with the computer, so I tried using it again and it still didn't work. They turned my card off. So I called them and I said, look, what's up with this? Why you turn my card off? And they said, well, you paid us late and you still owe us $30. And I'm like, well, you know, I paid a whole lot more than $30 in my last check there. That should account for something. I said, sorry, sir, the computer says that you still owe money, so we can't credit your account, and you have to send us another check before we can turn it back on. So I was, like, very angry at them. It turns out, though, that what actually happened, they didn't tell me this, but I discovered it on my own. There was a check that I had sent them that apparently they couldn't figure out that I sent it to them, so they sent it back to me, saying, we don't know why you sent us this check. Here, take it back.
You didn't have then, your account number on it?
Well, I never write my account numbers on checks because I love having adventures like this so much. But anyway, they sent it back to me saying, okay, you know, here's a check. We don't want it. Then they sent me a letter saying, where's the check? And so then by the time I got that letter, it was about 2 months after the check had gone out in the first place and the account was way overdue. So then they said, okay, well, you can fix the whole thing by simply calling our computer and saying that you sent the check, and, you know, that way your account will be credited before we actually get the check. So I said, great, no problem, I'll do that. So I did that, and then my bank called me and said, you know, somebody just took out all this money from your account electronically. Was it you? I said, no, I had nothing to do with that. It turned out American Express used that little computer to withdraw the money 2 times. A, they got the check, and B, they did an electronic withdrawal. So now they have more money than I owe them.
They didn't tell you they were electronically transferring your cash?
Not only didn't they tell me, they told me they weren't doing that. They said, most definitely, we will not be doing that. You have to authorize us specially. So be careful with things like this. Folks, we're out of time. I guess we'll be back again next week. Hopefully all of us will be here. And we'll talk to you then. Stay tuned for Housing Notebook. This is Emmanuel Goldstein. Good night.
Turn the rough ride of a spring membership drive into a glittering highway of success. In a word, fulfillment. Yes, that's right. Please, when you get your bill from WBAI, don't be a stranger. Please do everything you can to honor your pledge as soon as possible, and we will find ourselves on the other end of this drive with a complete fulfillment ratio. 100% fulfillment. What could be finer? Please honor your pledges today.